For 20 consecutive months, the light vehicle market grew year over year, 20 months in a row until April last month. And then we saw a 4% decline. Is this just a tiny speed bump, or is this a trend or the beginning of a slowdown? Could have been brought on by certainly the higher interest rates that everybody's dealing with. Let's bring in Paul Eisenstein, the senior contributing editor for Headlight.News. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Guy. Good to be with you.
Let's just start with the market overall. We don't have numbers. The GM and Stellantis do quarterly reporting, but what do we learn about the market overall based on this April report?
Yeah, the numbers looked a little weak. They were spotty. Some brands doing very well, some brands doing, I guess, meh is the best term. It wasn't a major failure, but it certainly was not as good as a lot of manufacturers would like. Now, there were some curious things to watch in the most recent report. For example, we've been hearing a lot of talk. You and I have discussed the issue of EVs, and EVs and other electrified vehicles did quite well. In fact, what's interesting about Ford, which you know releases its sales numbers a day later than most of the industry, when they reported yesterday, they saw some of their traditional strong powerhouse products like the F-150 losing ground. I mean, the F-150 really took a hit. On the other hand, its EVs did pretty well. Overall, if you include all their electrified vehicles, including their commercial Transit EV, their F-150 Lightning, and so on, they were up about 60%. And the real
combined 129% if you throw the Transit in there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I meant 129. Excuse me, the Transit. What was particularly amazing was how strong the Ford Maverick hybrid was. That people are just falling in love with that compact hybrid pickup. I just had one a few weeks ago, and I have to say, I really enjoy it. I was sorry to give it back.
Paul, I know there's been some positive trends, but Ford has also faced challenges, as you say, with SUV sales, particularly the Bronco and an Escape crossover. What are the reasons you think behind those struggles?
Well, there are a few things that are happening. There's a lot of competition in that segment, for one thing, and it's getting, if anything, more fierce. I have been spending a lot of time on the road. As you know, I'm traveling all the time to previews, and a significant number of the previews that I've been to in the last 12 months have been for off-road-oriented vehicles. I was just driving Tacoma pickup that Toyota has, and they have launched more off-road models. We have an all-new 4Runner from Toyota. Even brands like Mazda and Honda are putting more emphasis on off-road, and that gives Ford a lot more competition. But SUVs in general, you know, they've been growing and growing and growing for, what, almost three decades now? It's not surprising that sales would settle back a little bit.
What about the luxury market? Where are we there?
Luxury market seems to be doing reasonably well. There's a lot of transition in the luxury market. One of the most interesting things that I saw this past week was Cadillac's announcement or confirmation that they will continue to have a, quote, portfolio of EVs, but EVs won't be the only thing in their portfolio. And to be honest, we had to, shall we say, get a little bit tough on some of the executives who were there for a preview, a background briefing on the new EV, their model called the Optiq. It'll be their entry model. To get this all clarified, they tried to, shall we say, not go into too much details. They're not cutting any EVs out of the plan, but they're going to reflect the fact that it may be a little bit slower till we see it possible for luxury brands to go all electric. And that's something similar we're seeing elsewhere. As a matter of fact, overnight we saw the replacement for one of the top Ferraris. Many people thought it would go electric, and in fact, it's going to be a new V12.
Paul, as you look at the market overall through the eyes of consumers who are inflation weary, interest rate weary, are we seeing an improvement in the discounts that are being offered? And about the flip side of that, are we seeing the automakers breaking discipline on that?
Yeah, one of the things that concerns people watching the industry is that the manufacturers continue to build up inventory after all the shortages they had due to the semiconductor problem, and they may be building it up too much. In turn, to keep the inventory moving, they're launching a lot of new incentives. And that worries people because that's a recipe for financial losses. It could wind up rebuilding the sort of problems that we had leading into the Great Recession, 15-odd years ago. So that's one thing we're going to be watching closely. It's good news for consumers because there are more incentives out there, and we're seeing cost cutting, particularly on the EV side. Ford just dropped the price of the Mustang Mach-E by, $3,000 to $4,000, depending on the model, and they had previously cut prices on the F-150 Lightning.
Paul, you know, we're entering this busy summer driving season, and these job cuts at Tesla's Supercharge division, I mean, it's kind of left folks a little confused and concerned. Is this going to impact the rollout of electric vehicles at other companies like GM or Ford?
Well, everybody I've spoken to, and I've talked to a number of automakers, trying to figure out exactly what's happening at Tesla. As one person said, and everybody was talking to me off the record, but as one said, Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla, is want to throw tantrums and rants. And he has been known to fire people and even whole groups and then back off and say, never mind, I didn't mean it. Come on back to work. So will he completely shut down the supercharger division? Nobody really believes that's going to happen. But there are worries that as part of the cost-cutting effort, they may slow down building out the supercharger network. Wall Street Journal reported that there are something like 12 locations in Texas that work sort of came to a halt this week. I have an exclusive report on headlight.news I hope people will take a look at. I spoke to a number of people, as I said, around the industry, and what we're finding is automakers are saying, okay, we can't trust Tesla, what do we do? And one of the things that's happening is you're going to see the seven brands, which include GM, Mercedes, and the various Hyundai Motor Group brands, increase their focus on their own new super charger network, public charger network called Iona. And I've been told by a couple manufacturers that didn't join that consortium to begin with that they're now very seriously considering partnering up with, again, GM and the other manufacturers, Mercedes, the Hyundai Group, and so on. So I think you're going to see this motivate people to start coming up with alternatives to the Tesla supercharger deals that they all agreed to last year.
They call it Iona? Like an Iona. I own an EV, and I can't find a charger?
Oh, that's painful.
Yeah, I couldn't resist.
Oh boy. Okay, that gets the gong for the morning.
Yeah, it should.
He's got dad jokes up the wazoo.
Yeah, especially on a Friday. Don't talk about my wazoo. We did have something interesting down in Alabama. We see a change in management at the Mercedes plant down there ahead of this potential UAW vote. What do you make of that?
That's an interesting one. I'm sure that Mercedes is looking at that going, okay, what do we do either to prepare if they really think they're going to lose the vote or they're desperately trying to find a way to win it? We do know that one of the truck plants that's operated by Mercedes in the U.S. just did a very nice lucrative deal with the UAW. So that actually could wind up sending a message to those Alabama workers saying, hey, the UAW can do well for you. I would be slightly surprised if they lose this vote, but it is the Deep South, and I wouldn't be willing to go to Vegas and put a lot of money on it.
All right. Paul Eisenstein, the senior contributing editor for Headlight.News. Check out the latest on that website. You have a great weekend. Say hi to Iona for me.
I will. I'll plug in.
All right. That's Paul Eisenstein. When we come back, we've heard a lot about cancer cases in young people. Now there's new concern about AFib perhaps striking younger Americans. We'll get into that with one of our fine heart specialists from Henry Ford next on JR Morning at 6:49.